There is nothing worse than potential unrealized. We all have things that hold us back. What if we could find a way to get us unstuck? I'm Lichelle Weamy, and I am going to walk alongside you as you make the decision to get unstuck. Tune in as I help you realize that you are not alone, inspire hope, and offer practical solutions to help you step boldly into the life that you are meant to live. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. And I am so excited today to bring you one of my favorite people in the whole world, Katie Cooley. So Katie is here with me, and I am just in awe of this woman. She is somebody that when I met, I knew that in her body language, in the way that she interacts with people, that this woman is on fire. She carries this beautiful confidence in her that all of us really want to have a little piece of and have instantly respected her and what she's accomplished in this world. And I'm so grateful to have her as a friend now. I'm learning with her, growing alongside of her. And man, the fact that you guys get to hear about her and her story today as we go on, this is one of the biggest privileges that I can imagine for this podcast. So, all right, Katie, I cannot wait for everybody to get to know you better.
My gosh, I'm going to say one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do. Well, not one of the most difficult, that's an exaggeration, but a really difficult thing I've had to do is learn how to take compliments. And I feel like this is something that a lot of people struggle with. So first of all, thank you. I hear that. I accept that. I own those things. And I appreciate that you were so kind. But that makes me uncomfortable. And I often wonder, like, does everyone else's skin crawl when people are saying nice things?
Probably. But you do a really good job of hiding it.
Okay, real. Good.
Like, girl, like, you're who I aspire to be as far as the way that you carry yourself. And in, not in an arrogance confidence, but in a you own who you are and I want to be a part of your life confidence.
Aww.
And so thank you for that. And modeling that for all of us. And so I really want to get into letting you toot your horn a little bit, which is really hard for you to do. But I think that in order for us to be able to appreciate the way that you've been able to get out of things is really to acknowledge the amazing things that you've accomplished. Because I shared with you before that one of my goals with this podcast is to really help people recognize that even successful people have really bad things happen to them, or they feel stuck sometimes.
For sure.
And not necessarily concentrating on that, but really trying to figure out how those people have gotten out of whatever it is that they were having to deal with at the time, and to really see from a success standpoint, like, wow, like, look at where you are and how far you've come, and let us learn from you, because that is such a gift. And so tell us, in all of the things that you've accomplished, and it's been a ton, what are you most proud of?
Okay, so I'm going to answer that personally and professionally. I'm just going to jump right in. I would say the thing that I'm the most proud of personally is how good of a mom I am. And I'm not, like, I'm the mom that isn't like, oh, don't do that, honey, you're going to get hurt. I'm like, what the fuck are you thinking? Get down from there. Like, that's the kind of mom I am. So don't think for a second that I'm this perfect mom, because I'm not. But I grew up with a mom who was a drug addict and who was absent a lot. And I mean, we could have a whole podcast just about that. But
maybe we'll have to.
One of the most difficult things for people to overcome is like generational poverty, generational abuse. And my mom didn't have any of that in her past. So a lot of she was in a prescription drug addict. Mm-hmm. And that is something that is devastating our country. But I didn't know what a good mom was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what a good wife was. So I'm most proud that I'm super involved in my children's life. I'm just really proud of the mom that I am.
And the fact that you didn't let that experience and what was modeled for you repeat it.
Yeah.
And to dictate the kind of person that you are in your own family now. That's
right.
Amazing.
Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, I'm very, and I think part of it is when you grow up in traumatic situations, that's your norm. And so it wasn't until I kind of stepped away from that, that I realized that not only did it suck, but I could do better. Sometimes I think back to how did I not become a victim of my circumstance?
Yeah, I want to hear about that.
When you are in a traumatic environment, you almost live in that fight or flight state.
Yeah.
And I honestly, all I can do is credit God with helping me see my own worth in a circumstance where I shouldn't have, right? Like, that's a God thing. That's not a me thing.
Yeah.
So personally, that is my greatest accomplishment. That's what you wanted me to talk about, right? Okay. Yeah. And then professionally, what I'm most proud of is how willing I am to take a risk on myself. I have recently made a career transition that was 180 degrees from anything that I ever thought, like on the surface, was something I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I left 2 incredibly successful businesses, a 6-figure income to really start all over. And that was hard, but I'm really proud of myself for believing in myself enough to do it.
Yeah. So that's definitely something that if I were to pick one word that describes you aside from confident, is courageous.
Thanks.
And I think that you've really built a brand around that, actually.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the businesses that you had built previously before you left.
Sure. So my educational background is in women's ministry. I like to tell people that because sometimes I think, what the am I doing? But then it all comes back. Like, I can see how everything, when I have followed God's prompting, everything comes back and wraps itself up and becomes obvious. But so my background educationally is in women's ministry. And when I got divorced in 2010, I can't believe it's been 10 years. I went back to school with 3 kids that were 5, 3, and 1 to finish. And after I got out of school, I knew that I didn't want to go to a church for a lot of reasons. So I started working at a local business here as an office manager and quickly moved into the role of like marketing, head of marketing, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in that position, I knew right away that I needed to start making connections with other people because that's not where I wanted to be forever.
Mm-hmm.
Met an amazing woman that owns a publication for advertisers in Rochester in the cities, kind of southern Minnesota. And she saw something in me and was like, you need to not be here and you need to be out in front of people. And I was like, yeah, totally speaking my language. So from there, I went and did ad sales for a few years at a multimedia company here in Rochester. And while I was in that place, I realized that a lot of small businesses aren't good at figuring out who they are or what their messaging needs to be. And nobody gets into business because they love marketing. They get into business because they make the best sandwiches or they love clothes or, I mean, we could go on and on about why.
Yeah.
And because of that, there is a gap between what they should be doing and what they are doing. And I realized quickly in this environment that most small business owners are very reactive in the way that they market and advertise their business. They're not strategic, and it's because they don't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have all these sales reps coming at them from all these different multimedia platforms, radio, digital, print, billboards, newspaper. And none of those things are bad, but they're just not right all the time for every business. And I started to realize that there were times that I was suggesting the product that I sold, knowing full well that it wasn't going to be as effective for them as something else. So, but I loved who I worked with, and it was such an amazing organization. Fast forward a little bit, and our market president left, and a new one came in, and she's honestly the most awful person I've ever had the displeasure to know. And I've known a lot of awful people, but it was a terrible experience. And I've never quit a job on the spot, but I was 6 months pregnant with my 4th child, who was a huge surprise. And decided to quit my full-time job and start a business. I had a business partner for the first year, and we worked with small businesses doing brand development and marketing strategies, and I really loved that. After I bought my business partner out, I was kind of in this place where I felt like I was drowning a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, business was doubling year over year, so it was growing, it was awesome. I felt super fortunate to be doing something I loved, but I could tell, like, a piece of it was missing.
Yeah.
And that's when I launched the Courageous Collective, which really is an online community for women to come together, connect, be inspired by one another, encourage one another. And from that, I kind of shot off. They're called Courageous Collective Connects, where we meet once a month, either happy hour or coffee in person, so that women in our community or surround, like if you live 100 miles away and you want to drive here, please do it. We would love to see you. But it really, I call it like the anti-networking networking group, because there's no awkward 10-second introductions. It's all about connecting with other women, where you're at, where they're at, and getting to know them personally. And if you can work with them, awesome. But mostly just building a network of people that connect you. I know we are both huge believers in the power of networking and have seen what it's done for both of us.
Yep.
So that is why I did the Courageous Collective.
And so now all of these things that have built upon themselves have led you to where you're at now, which is essentially doing what?
Yes. If somebody would have told me that I would be in this role even 2 years ago, I would have. In fact, I did laugh in their face 2 years ago when the opportunity was presented to me. So it was, I'm going to back up a little bit just to kind of give some understanding and groundwork. And I really want those of you that are feeling this, like, please hear me. I had a full-time employee, I had some part-time staff, and my business was generating. My gross revenue was upwards of $500,000 a year. Like, it was a lot.
Yeah.
And I was miserable. I hated my life. I hated going to work, and I couldn't figure out why. And it wasn't until after I spent an entire week binging Downton Abbey during the workday that I was like, okay, something has to change. And I started really kind of, I went through all of the things like, okay, why do I feel this way? When did I feel the most happy? What are the things that I do that bring me the most joy? And in that process, I realized two things. One, I needed to close my business, which was terrifying. And two, I needed to get back into a place where my primary objective was connecting with people and helping people. So I actually went to my financial planner to make sure that I had enough money to live on for a while I like discovered myself. You know, I had all the things, all the downloads from the internet. I was really going to figure out what I wanted to do. And I sat down with Gabe. And I was like, here's the deal. I'm going to close my business and I'm looking for a place where I can continue to connect and empower women with one another. I can empower women within their circumstances and encourage them. I still want to be able to help and strategize with small businesses. And I want to spend most of my day talking to people. And he looked at me and he was like, well, you need to come here. And I laughed in his face again for probably the fourth time in 2 years. And then I was like, you know what? I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I'm going to just take the leap. I'm going to have some conversations. And I went through this interview process that I didn't know was an interview. Totally myself. I wore blue jeans to most of it. And I was very apparent and transparent with the people I was talking with, like the CEO of our organization, that this was not something for me, but I'll listen.
Yeah.
And the more I learned about the organization and the job, the more I realized that this is exactly what I was meant for. All of the things that I have done have culminated, and I feel like I'm in the perfect place.
And it took you being stuck.
Yes.
In several parts of this journey. Mm-hmm. I heard you say that when you went back to school and when you started your business and now when you're starting this one and many spots along the way where you had to pivot.
Right.
When you felt stuck. So you didn't stay there. I want you to tell us a little bit more about, you know, you said that you had a tough upbringing with your mom's addiction.
Yep.
Were there any other times that you can think of where you felt that the odds were against you, that you felt stuck, that you felt helpless to your circumstances?
Yes. I felt stuck in a marriage for 5 out of the 6.5 years because of the way that I grew up. And I can see this now all like looking back.
Yeah.
And I've also spent tons and tons and tons of time in therapy. But I like latched on to the most stable thing I could see at 18. And I started modeling when I was 16. And I had fairly decent success with that. And the photographer that shot my portfolio kind of became a friend and a mentor almost in that industry. And when I turned, and I always like had a crush on him and it always had been kind of an old soul, but was like, oh my gosh, he's like 5 years younger than my dad. That'd be weird. And when I turned 18, actually I graduated at 17. I just turned 18. I was supposed to be moving in with a friend, you know, like getting away from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend got sent to treatment. And I was like, okay, I got nowhere to go. So I actually moved in with Dean. And about 2 months later, we started dating. And I realized, and I don't like to speak poorly about him at all. We co-parent really well. He's a great dad. We just weren't good together.
Yeah.
We both have really traumatic stories. And you have to want to fix it to make it better, or it will always bleed into your life.
Right. So you have to make that choice.
Yes.
Right.
So when we had 3 kids in 4 years, and I was a stay-at-home mom, and life was pretty, like, from the outside, it was perfect. Mm-hmm. But on the inside, it was very emotionally and verbally abusive, and I felt stuck. I turned 25 when I was pregnant with my 3rd daughter, and I hadn't finished school, and I just thought, like, this is going to be my life forever. I remember crying in our closet more times than I can count, and it was the pivotal moment for me. Isabel was just born, and I was driving Grace to school, so she was 4, Ava wasn't quite 2, and Izzy was a newborn. And from the back of the minivan, my daughter, in her sweet little voice, I'm probably going to choke up, she says, "Mommy, does Daddy love you?" And I said, "Of course he does." And she said, "Then why does he make you cry all the time?" And I was like, oh my God. Like, wow. They see it.
Yeah.
Huh. And I knew that at that moment, I either left and did the hard things now, or they were going to repeat the process.
Wow. That word courageous keeps coming up over and over again, girl. I love you so much.
Thank you. I try to pull myself together here. So I knew that despite looking at things intelligently, maybe, I knew that I had to leave. So at 26, I did. And I went back to school with the girls. I was living on $1,200 a month in child support. And that was paying my rent and my car payment. Was on government assistance for food stamps for 2 years. Worked when the girls were with their dad half of the time, and busted my ass to set an example for them.
Wow.
So that was one time. Oh, and I'd love to say that after that, everything was amazing, but it wasn't. I made some really, really bad decisions, some really stupid decisions. And a lot of it had to do with never kind of addressing the trauma that I grew up with. Mm-hmm. And I also got married at 20, had my first kid at 21, and never really kind of got to do the typical things that young 20-year-olds
right.
do.
Yeah.
And I was still only 26. Like, I was still young. So when the girls were with their dad, I spent a lot of time for about a year going to bars, going out. Like, I made a lot of dumb decisions. And in 2010, it was June 28th, I was drugged at a bar and taken back to my home and sexually assaulted. I was raped. Like, I was raped in my own home. And you always say, like, or people will always say, oh, if that happened to me, this is what I would do. Well, let me tell you, you have no idea what the fuck you would do until you were there. And I woke up the next morning and my rapist was still in my house. And I was terrified because I knew that I needed to stay safe, but also get him out of there, which I did. And I called the police later that afternoon. And that started a 2.5-year process of going through the justice system, which was awful. And I will tell you, there was many times where I felt like the world was just against me. I remember having conversations with people that I loved and people that loved me. And their questions or their comments were, well, what were you wearing? Why were you out at a bar?
Wow.
And I know that when they were asking these questions, it wasn't coming from a place to shame me. But that's really the narrative that has been built. I mean, people do dumb shit all the time.
Right.
It doesn't mean that they deserve to be victimized.
Right, right.
The trial process was almost like another victimization because the way that the courts are set up, it's a crime against the state, not a crime against a person. And my rapist had the money to hire a really great attorney, played all of the cards well, and he ended up acquitted despite massive amounts of physical evidence. And yeah, it was incredibly defeating. And that was in September of 2012. And that started a downward spiral for me with a couple of things where I just felt like you do all the right things and it still doesn't work out. And I kind of wandered away from my faith at that time too, which seems ironic because I was in Bible college during this whole process. But I remember the day vividly. It was March 26th, 2003. I was out on a walk and was just like talking to God, and I was really, really angry with God. And I think people need to know that that's okay.
Yep.
And in Rochester, there's a bunch of trails around Silver Lake Park. Mm-hmm. And I remember being at this bridge and I just stopped because I was so overcome. And Sometimes people think this is crazy, but whatever. I audibly heard the word of God or the voice of God say, you need to pray for forgiveness for your rapist. And I was like, oh, are you kidding me?
Uh-huh.
Not a chance.
Because that wouldn't have come into your mind.
God, no.
On your own.
No. And I always was like, okay, he was acquitted and this sucks, but I'm going to be fine as long as I don't have to see him in heaven. And it was almost like God being like, girlfriend, you are not God. You don't decide who comes here. Oh, so I remember that entire day just like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. Went home and took a bath and remember just sitting in my tub sobbing and just crying out to God. Like, I'll do anything. And he was pretty relentless. And so I remember praying for forgiveness for him. And it was like this instantaneous weight off of my shoulders and almost like God being like, okay, here's your second chance. Maybe not fuck this one up.
Yeah.
And I haven't. So,
okay.
Like, so that's a whole lot of unstuck stuff.
Man, you guys can't see this right now, but we're both in tears. I'm trying to keep it together because gosh, like I look at this woman in front of me and I see this powerhouse of a woman. And it gives me chills, and I hope it does to you guys too, all of the things that this woman has come through. And I say that deliberately. Come through. Whatever valley that you're in, it is something that you're supposed to walk through, not stay in.
Right.
And that's something that you repeated over and over again. I mean, how many times do we give ourselves the permission and excuse to remain stuck because mm-hmm. of something that is outside of our control? And I think about your story, and I think, okay, here's one stack against you. You have a mom who was an addict who did not mother you or model for you what it was like to be a responsible, successful adult. You got married super young. You can be a listener and thinking, okay, well, I got married super young. I have 3 kids by the time I'm 25. My life is over. Mm-hmm. You prove that otherwise. You put yourself through school when you had everything stacked against you. You were able to take advantage of the public assistance that is out there, but you didn't stay there.
Mm-hmm.
You were faced with something terrible that I hope that nobody has to experience, which is a sexual assault. And you were courageous enough to go through the court system, which I think so many people never report what happens to them so that they can avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
And just all of the other things that you've shared with us. And so I have to ask you, like, Katie, how did you get yourself out of that to be the woman that you are today? Let us know how you were able to get from there to here to give mm-hmm. us all hope that just because we've been stuck and just because bad things have happened to us, that we don't have to stay there.
Yeah. I think, and I said this earlier, I think a lot of it was really God, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, you can't wait around for God to change your life. Mm-hmm. Like, do I believe that God is capable of doing all of the things? Of course I do.
Yeah.
But what reward is that for him, first of all, to make things easy? It's like, I think about a lot my relationship with God in parallel to my relationship with my kids. Like, when they are in a struggle, I so badly want to reach out and make it easier for them.
Yes.
But then they don't learn anything.
Right.
And then I have a sassy kid because of it, right? Like, so I believe in two things. I believe that when doors continue to open and that process is easy, like, that's God. Just trust and keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I've never stopped believing in myself. And I know that I'm destined for great things. And I honestly can't tell you where that comes from mm-hmm. other than my entire life, I had to rely on myself for things. And there were people that helped. I had aunts and uncles and grandparents.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like I did it all on my own, but I never stopped believing in myself and I refused to be a victim. I think because I saw my mom living this poor me, woe is me victim mentality, and I was disgusted by it.
Mm.
And I'm disgusted by people that choose to stay there. Like, I know it's hard and I know it sucks, but it's still gonna suck in a year if you don't get off your ass and do something.
Yep.
And sometimes all of that is taking a shower and making a list of what is the next thing I have to do. To go from here to here, what is the next thing I have to do? And then after that, what's the next thing?
That is so powerful. And I'm going to guess, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, okay? But I'm going to guess that even though you have become victorious in all of these really, really awful battles that you've had to fight, I'm going to guess that you still have days where you might feel stuck.
Oh, totally.
Or frustrated, or, you know, a victim to your circumstances in some aspect.
Yeah.
So that,
yeah,
you
for
know,
sure.
is accurate.
Absolutely. And in starting over from scratch with my income, with building a business again, man, there's been a couple of days where I just feel like I've been on the edge, but I know well enough when to give myself some grace and permission to unplug, to binge Netflix series all day, right? Maybe to have a glass of wine in the middle of the afternoon. Like, I know that if I don't give myself that permission to feel bad for a little bit, or to feel stressed, or to feel stuck for a little bit, that those feelings just stay bottled. There have been, in the last 6 months, a handful of days where I just can't adult.
Yeah.
And so I don't. And I don't feel badly about it. And I'm thankful and super grateful that I have a career where if that happens on a Wednesday, I just move my meetings and I stay home. But you have to be an advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that a lot of women especially struggle with. We almost have become indoctrinated by our society to live this martyr complex.
Yep.
Like, I'm going to put everybody first and I'm last. Girl, here's your permission. Be selfish. Be selfish.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself first. If your significant other or your spouse or your baby daddy, whatever you got, is not going to be willing to help with your kids, reach out to someone else, right? If you don't say, this is what I'm feeling and this is what I need, nobody's going to give it to you.
Right. That's so true. And I think that one of the things that, because you and I both are kind of personal development junkies,
yeah,
in a sense,
absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. Like, and we don't, you said it yourself best, like, I'm disgusted by the feeling of victimization,
yeah,
and staying there,
yep,
and choosing to stay there. And so I think that sometimes when we feel so strongly about that, that we can be very quick to judge ourselves.
Oh, for sure.
And like, I found myself like, oh, quit being a damn victim in this, right? But I think that what you just said is really powerful to me, and hopefully to our listeners, is that it's okay to feel it.
Yeah.
It's just not okay to stay there.
Exactly.
And I think that that's okay. Let it go through your body. Let it come in, but let it go out. And don't be hard on yourself to just dismiss it or to be feeling angry at yourself for feeling the way that you do, because we're human.
Right.
And when we're human and when we're feeling down, that's when God really wants us to grasp a hold of Him and let Him help us out of it.
Right.
Right. And along these same lines, Katie, is there anything else that you want to say to encourage people that feel like they just don't have the hope that they need,
yeah,
to be able to keep moving forward and be successful? Because here's the deal. Like, this is not a story of survival at all. This is a story of thriving into your best self, which is exactly what you do and model for me and people that know you every single day. And so just because you've been through hard things, we're not telling you this to help you survive it.
Mm-hmm.
Nuh-uh. We are telling you this because we see in you the potential that you have to rise high above it, mm-hmm, and become the most amazing version of yourself. So what else do you want to add to this conversation?
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest lessons I've learned, and I've already said this, is you have to be your own advocate and you have to believe in yourself. And there's so much out there that you can read or podcasts you can listen to that are all about the power of your thoughts. And if you inner dialogue is the most awful thing ever, right? Like, you would never say some of the things out loud to other people,
right,
that you say to yourself. You just wouldn't. And if you can even begin with three things that you kind of almost use as a mantra in your own mind, the more you say it, the more you'll believe it. That would be one thing. Absolutely find something. I have a saying that I believe with all of my being, that I am always enough and I'm never too much. And some people will tell me that I'm too much for them. They're not my people.
Right.
Like, great. You do you, dude. So find something and latch onto something. Find someone that you feel like is killing it and learn about how they got there. Because anybody that's super successful, I bet 99% of people have had shit to go through. Read the books, like, do the work. That's the biggest thing. Believe in yourself and do something.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Okay, so...
Oh, sorry, can I add one more thing?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
And you have to reach out for help. It's so hard, and I don't know if this is like a Minnesota thing or like a Midwestern thing or a woman thing, but when we need help, what people do most of the time is retreat further into themselves. Yep. And we're afraid that if we ask for help, we're either going to look weak. Yep. And I honestly believe that mostly we're afraid of hearing no. And when I'm in those situations where I need help, I think of the person that I want to reach out to and how would I react if they reached out to me? If it's somebody that I love and care about, I would do anything I could to help them.
Right.
And I have to believe that they would do the same thing.
And if they wouldn't, they're not your
people. They're not your people, right?
So and like, thank you
yeah,
for showing me
exactly.
That,
right? So don't be afraid to ask for help. And don't be afraid to reach out to someone and just say, hey, I've been following you on Instagram and I think you're awesome and I would love to grab coffee. The worst they're going to say is no.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I think that one of the things that, you know, to remind our listeners of this is that when you ask for help and you let somebody in to your vulnerability, it makes them see you in even brighter light than you ever did before.
I would agree.
And I'm going to say that just from your own story. Like, I've heard most of what you shared with us today before in our conversations together. And when I learned of some of the things that you've been through, it makes me just marvel at who you are even more.
And
so when you ask for the help and when you let other people into your cracks, I guess,
right?
per se, that's when your light shines through those cracks even brighter.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so thank you for doing that. And so you guys just know that the people that are out there that are supposed to help you want to help you. And
they do.
They're going to respect you even more for reaching out. So,
right.
All right, girl. So as a successful woman, as somebody who's clearly modeled for us what it's like to get unstuck, do you have any just other tools that you want to part with us? Or do we feel like we've really had a chance to glean your wisdom?
Yeah. Well, I have a podcast.
Yes,
it's called The Courageous Woman Podcast. I share a little bit more of my story there, and I really share a lot of my beliefs on how to get over yourself and get moving forward. Because at the end of the day, you have to unfuck yourself. And I say that to my, there's actually a book called I Believe Unfuck Yourself.
Yeah, there is.
The biggest battle you'll ever have is the one that goes on between your ears.
Yep.
Really, it is. So my parting advice would be make a list of books, find people that you admire. One person that I love is Mel Robbins.
Yep.
I think her Instagram handle is at Mel Robbins, 1L, 2R, or sorry, 2Bs, whatever. But she has this whole principle, and she's got TED Talks, and she's amazing, about this 5-4-3-2-1, five-second
yep.
rule.
Yep.
And it really is all about, like, what is the next step that I need to take to move forward?
I had the opportunity to see her live a couple
fun.
Years ago, and it was literally
jealous.
Because of what I was going through at the time and who I was with, that moment will be forever etched in my mind as a life-changing moment.
Yeah.
And so it's so cool that I have Mel as part of that, and
yeah.
your story is part of that. Okay, Katie, so you mentioned the Courageous Woman podcast.
Yep.
How else can people find you if they want to get to know you better personally,
sure.
professionally, all of those
you
things?
You can search for the Courageous Collective on Facebook. So it's the Courageous Collective Katie Cooley, and my name is K-A-T-I. On Instagram, my handle is Katie Cooley, K-A-T-I-C-O-O-L-U-I _. And you can also go to katiecooley.com. Or email me at katie@katiecooley.com.
Awesome. And they can get a hold of you for inspiration, for courage, and if they need some financial advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, girl, love you. Thanks
love
for
you. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, bye.
Now, don't forget to hit subscribe so that you don't miss any of this awesomeness. And I will see you here next week as we discover ways to get ourselves unstuck and walk together in order for all of us to step boldly into the life that we are meant to live. Bye.